1 John chapter number 2. We're not going to read the entire chapter. We're going to be preaching from this chapter, well, until we're done with it. But anyway, verse 18, the Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." I think that's interesting to me that the Apostle John, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used the statement "the last time" in this passage, and he related the context of that statement, of those two words, by also using two times in the same verse the word Antichrist, singular, and Antichrist with an S, plural. And I believe he's saying, whereby, once we see that the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist on the scene and the stage, listen, the stage is being set for the surfacing of the Antichrist. Just as Christ was a man, the Antichrist will be a man. Just as everything that Christ was for, the Antichrist is going to be a counterfeit. He's going to have a counterfeit to offer. And so here John is talking to believers, and he's addressing those believers as little children. That particular statement is not referring to his own personal biological children. But he's talking about those that have gotten saved, those that have received by faith the Word of God and received Christ Jesus as their Savior. And he's telling them, he's given some admonition, instruction in this chapter specifically about God's people and how that you and I are to deal with the last times. I believe, as it's already been mentioned, Brother Jeff mentioned it opening Sunday school, about Lot and Noah. Amen. Both of those Bible characters were used in Matthew and the Gospel of Luke as to indicate to us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Luke talks about as it was in the days of Lot, and we heard both of those this morning about those. I believe God is wanting us to realize that we are in the last times, that we are in the closing moments of the church age. The day of grace, as we know it to be now, is soon to end. It is soon to end. And I want to just say to everyone listening, everyone watching, that are not saved, I didn't ask if you've made a profession or if you're a church member or you've been baptized. I'm talking about there's no shadow of a doubt in your soul that you in fact have met Jesus. You know Jesus. He lives inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and you remember that event. You may remember. Y'all go ahead and be seated. You may not remember if it was a Thursday or a Tuesday or a Sunday night or a Monday. You may not remember if it was in January or July or December. You may not remember those details, though I don't see hardly how a man can forget the greatest event that could ever happen to you. Amen. I believe that if you were to could go back into the earthly ministry of our Lord and interview any of those that Jesus changed their life and ask the blind man, "Do you remember when it happened? Do you remember where it was that it happened? Do you remember who it was that did the job?" I don't believe there'd be any hesitancy to give you details. Amen, that's right. But you can ask people now, are you saved? Well, yeah, but I don't remember when it happened. I don't remember nothing about it, but I'm saved. I'd hate to know that I've got more facts about my first birth than I've got about my new birth. And every detail that I've got about my first birth, it came second-handed. I guess I was born on January 1st, 1961. That's what they tell me anyway. Are you listening? But you know what? I could tell you that you, if mom and dad were still alive, you could ask them because they were there. I was there too, of course, but I don't remember any of the details of it. Amen. Amen. But you don't have to ask mom and daddy nothing about my new birth because mom and daddy don't know all the details. All they know is what I've told them. Amen. Thank God for that. Well, hallelujah. But listen, this thing's winding down. Amen. Gabriel's probably licking his lips, getting ready to fire off the trumpet. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus may be standing like he was on the day when Stephen was welcomed home. Hey, 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 Jesus may be standing up on the right hand of God, waiting on God the Father to say, and you think about all the churches that are meeting globally in the next 24 hours. You think about that. If I understand it right, the Philippines are 12 hours behind us. So they've already had church. What if the last one had gotten saved over there? Brother Tang had preached and down the aisle come a little Filipino girl and got saved. And God said, that's it. That's it. Go get your children. I don't believe Jesus is going to wait 10 days. I don't believe he's going to wait. No, no. He's wanting to see us far more than we're wanting to see him. You better get ready. If you're not saved, you better get in while the getting's good. While the door of opportunity is open, you better get in. We are. In the last time. Amen. Paul talked about this. Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Listen, and he gave, what was it, 23 signs down through there. Amen. And every one of them is right in front of us. Every one of them are being fulfilled right here. We are in the last days. We do believe in the imminent return of Christ. You say, what's that word mean? That means he can come at any second, at any time. He doesn't have to do nothing. You say, what has got to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back? Nothing. Are you listening? He could come back. Well, I'm watching Bible prophecy and I'm going to wait till this happens and that happens. Yeah, and you'll be right here watching the Antichrist show up too. Amen. That's foolishness, amen. Best thing to do. Listen, why? Let me give you this. Why would anybody want to wait till the latter end of their life to get saved? Why would you want a chance being on a deathbed and take a chance on God saving you on your deathbed? Brother Fultz, out of all the Bible that we have before us today, there was only one person that got saved moments before they died, and that was the thief on the cross. You may have consciousness on your deathbed, but God may not be dealing with you. You may have the mental capabilities on your deathbed to get saved, but God may not be dealing with you. Listen, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open unto me, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Amen. When God's dealing with you, that's the time you get in. And I want to tell you, I don't believe God deals with anybody that you can't get in when he's dealing with you. Oh, I want to say that again. If God's dealing with you this morning, or God has dealt with you last night, or whatever, if God presently is dealing with you, that is God saying you can get in. Amen. Why would God deal with somebody on it and then say, I was just kidding? Why would God deal with you and show you that you're lost and that you're in your one breath from hell, one step away from eternity, and then he says, you're not under conviction enough. I'm going to have to deal with you at least 10 more times. No, no, no. I believe the first time the divine God of heaven deals with your heart, makes you aware of the fact that you don't know God, that you are a sinner in trouble. Your sin is between you and God, and you have no way to repay the redemption price. I believe you can get saved right then. Worst, I believe one of the greatest lies of the devil is to complicate salvation. Well, if it, I mean, because salvation is so big and it's so eternal, surely I've got to feel this and I've got, amen, and you add to all kinds of things. And before you know it, God can be speaking clearly, God can be drawing you and dealing with you clearly, and you won't even, you'll put it off thinking, well, listen, here's the best way I can say it. Don't add to the Scripture. Don't add to the Scripture what God has not added to the Scripture. Don't add to salvation what God has not added to it. Show me in the Bible where God says you got to feel this or that. It's not there. If it was a feelings factor, everybody would know, most people wouldn't get saved because that is personal to each person's salvation. You hear somebody testify and they talk about how they cried all the way. They cried so many tears that they were sloshing in their tears walking to the altar. And you'll say, well, I didn't do that. I must not be saved. And you'll have some, amen. Amen. That's right. Hey, we in church, friend. That's right, thank God. Hallelujah for old time Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. You don't have to wait. I tell you what the invitation you have to wait on. You have to wait on the sweet Holy Ghost to give you that invite and to deal with your heart and to draw you to Himself. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. God doesn't need a routine. God doesn't need a rut. God just needs freedom. God needs an unquenched and an ungrieved atmosphere to where the Spirit of God can get on somebody before the preaching even gets in a warmed up gear. Hey, man, that's right. Oh, Lord knows who else in here that God is already dealing with your heart. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Amen. You don't have to wait, friend. If God's dealing with you, you can get in. And any thought inside of you that says, no, I can't, he won't, those are thoughts of the devil. Don't put faith in what the devil says. You'll never get in. Put faith in what God says. Amen. Amen. The book of James chapter 1 said, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We are saved. Faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If the word of God is speaking to you and dealing with you, sin is wearing you out. You carried around the load and burden of sin. It's wearing you out. Why not come to Jesus? Why not come to Jesus? Jesus means it, or was he kidding when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I believe it's possible for sinners to be laboring to try to get saved, laboring to try to figure it out, laboring to try to get all of it, all the ducks in a row. Oh, Jesus said, all ye that are heavy laden, all ye that labor and are heavy, heavy laden. You say, preach, I feel that. I guess you know we're out of 1 John 2 already. That's all right. God's welcome to interrupt any time in this place. Amen, that's right. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Well, God's answering prayer right in front of us. Amen. Hallelujah. God's answering prayer. Don't get too excited about that. Amen. We prayed for God to meet with us this morning, and God is showing up. You're laboring. Just laboring to try to endure and laboring to try to figure it out and laboring to try to outlast the storm and laboring. Why don't you get tired of that? Come unto me, all ye. No exemptions. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. That is, the results of your labor has produced heavy, weighted, burdensome baggage in your life. Amen. Listen. Oh, that's the devil's plan. That's the devil's plot to weight you down with burdens. Amen. And stress and all of that to where you feel like, I can't even get to Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I like these next few words. And I'll give you what? What? Oh, Lord, everybody in the church ought to have said, what? Jesus is getting that person that has nothing to offer. He's labored to the point. She's labored to the point of total exhaustion. You have no energy. You have no resources. Glory. And he said, I'll give you rest. That don't sound good unless you're the one that's laboring and heavy laden. Rest, that's what I need. Yeah, Jesus don't offer you what you don't need. He offers you what you need. Oh, if you've not understood it this morning in a roundabout way, I've been trying to say, I recommend Jesus to you. He's been the best friend that I've ever had this morning. I find no fault in Him. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy to be received. We know that in hell, everybody that's in hell is going to think, and it's going to add to the torment. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to come here. I could have got saved. I didn't have to come here. But I played the fool. I thought just because I was young, I had plenty of time. I played the fool. I thought, well, you know, I'm not really sick. I've not been to the doctor in a while, and Rona's not even affected me. So I'm in good shape. But guess what? You don't have to be sick to die. See, a lot of people's got that in their mind, that you got to be sick to die. You got to be old to die. You got to be in a car wreck to die. No, friend, you don't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey man, did you get some help this morning? What happened to you? If you can put it in words.
An evil person put a doubt in my head.
Yeah.
And God just told me he was wrong.
Sure.
And then I can't get forgiven for all that.
Sure. That's right. Only the Lord can do that. Did y'all hear that? Only the Lord can do that. I mean, I've went to some good doctors before and been sick, and they couldn't take what was wrong with me away. They said, here, you got to take this and do that and do this and do that, but they couldn't take it away. Oh, not one person's ever come to the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's for salvation or as a saved person that's failed God, a saved person that's made a carnal decision, a carnal choice. Hey, listen, I don't even have to have my glasses on to know there's no halos in here. There's no fluffy angel wings on none of you. I'm telling you, we are. If you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And 1 John 1:9 is put in the book for saved people. For saved people. Neither meant it or is kidding. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Oh, and He didn't stop there. That would have been enough. But He said He would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may have come in here as a church member, may have come in here as a visitor or whatever. You may have come in here as an attendee or whatever. I want to tell you, you don't have to leave the way you come. You may have come in good shape, but you can leave better. Amen. A stinking lying devil is a liar and a father of it. He's the one that'll tell you, boy, God's against you now. You've blowed it now. You'll never have joy again. You'll never have purpose again. You'll never have happiness again. That's all a lie. Because right here in this congregation, and Lord only knows who is on the other side of that camera in our vast unseen live stream audience, there's no telling at the broken vessels that are represented right here. There's no telling how many vessels that was marred in the hand of the potter. And everybody looks at that marred vessel and says, throw it away. I guarantee you, there've been a lot of people would have said, talk about me, yeah, you throw him away. Brother Aaron, Wednesday night, he said if he was God, he would squash him. Miss June said if she was God, what was yours? Zap. But you know the truth of the matter? You take Jesus and His blood out of the picture and we're all squashed and zapped. We don't have any hope, no hope whatsoever of making it to heaven. No, not a chance. But I'm looking at a bunch of forgiven people. I'm looking at a bunch of forgiven people. That don't make it a license for you to live loose and be a, well, God will forgive me, so I'm just going to go sin and build up a big account and then come back and get right. No, but it lets us know. Lets us know that we have been forgiven. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in 1 John chapter 2, this verse seems like, I've looked at it, looks like it's out of place. Of course, we know that ain't the case. I mean, he's talking down through here and he's giving all this instruction, but then when it's like he pauses for a second because he'd already given 1 John 1:9. He'd done gave them that. He already gave them the passage there in verse number 1 and 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so he's telling all of that to God's people that evidently had been in a broken fellowship. They had sinned, they had been disobedient, and they had broke fellowship with God. And so John is just writing to those people, my little children, and he's riding down through here and all of that, and he comes down and all of a sudden he just like he pauses and it's like the Holy Spirit says, you need to say that again. Verse 12, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. It could have been that there was some in that church, some in that congregation. Brother Henry, could have been there was some in there that was struggling. They just couldn't hardly grab a hold of 1 John 1:9. They couldn't grab a hold of Jesus being our advocate and our propitiation. They just couldn't grab a hold of that. Maybe they needed it put in some more simple terms. How much simpler can it get? My little children, right unto you. Amen. What did he say? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And then he picks right back up and continues on. Aren't you? I don't know that was the case, but I know this. I believe God cares enough about you as a person that he would stop right in the middle of a chapter and put a verse in there just for you. He'll stop right in the, he'll stop right in the middle of a service and say a word to you in somebody's testimony, in somebody's song, or in a Sunday school class, amen, and just speak to you. You say he'd do that if he'd go to the cross for you. Don't you think he'll give you a word? He will encourage you. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how we got from all that over there all the way over here, but I'm glad. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Whew, mercy. I was getting ready this morning. Been awake since about 5. I was getting ready this morning, and I usually have a little bit of a routine, not much of one, but I usually have a little routine on Sunday, and it always involves a little breakfast, amen, right there. Not a little breakfast bar and some almonds, you know, healthy stuff. No chocolate, sis, no chocolate, sorry. I do that in the evenings. But anyway, I was getting ready this morning, and I'm not saying nothing to toot my horn. I'm just saying that we all need to be obedient to the Lord. All of us. God moves when there's obedience. And while I was getting ready, wasn't thinking about it, I was just thinking about the service and the message and stuff. You know how you do, preachers know how, and Sunday school teachers probably. And the Lord says, don't eat breakfast this morning. Just as clear as a bell, don't eat breakfast this morning. Spend that time with me. No big feelings, no big goosebumps. I wasn't trying to think on nothing. I wasn't trying to, it just came. You said, what'd you do? I didn't eat breakfast. I spent some time with him. And I'm not saying Lord's moving for that. I'm just saying that the Lord's helping me for that. The Lord's blessing me for that. Amen. Listen, if we would be obedient and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm not talking about after you get to church, that's good to pray that. I'm talking about through the week. Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, what will you have me to do? If you have me to turn off the remote and get in the prayer closet and spend some time with God because we've got a bunch of kids here that are not saved. Lay aside the cell phone and put it aside, turn it off, turn the ringer off, whatever, and get away from it and get in the prayer closet. No telling what God will do. We're in the last times. There's no doubt about that. It's not the end of time. We know for a fact there's at least 1,007 years left of time. That's for us that believe the Bible. Are y'all listening? But far as the end of the church age, the end of the day of grace as we know it, it's winding down. And a while ago I mentioned a term about the imminent return of Christ. Did you know if you read Paul's writings in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord, he was writing it as if he was expecting it to happen when in his day. John, writing 1 John, you know, and there's other examples. He's writing about the coming of the Lord as if it's going to happen now. Huh? You did know that, and all the personal pronouns gets involved. We. What about 1 John 3? We're just preaching everywhere this morning. What about 1 John 3? Look at verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now. Does that need defining? Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that amazing? Paul would write about the coming of the Lord. He'd talk about us and we. He included himself. And if Paul thought he was on the threshold of the coming of the Lord back then, how much more is he, how much closer are we now? Amen. What about that? Anybody else need to get right? Anybody else need to get saved? Anybody else need to make a move? That spirit of Antichrist that we were planning to read about, that's what causes people to stay in their pews when they're lost or when they're not right with the Lord. Did y'all see that saying? I think it's in the bulletin, if I can find it. See, I use my bulletin. I got notes scribbled everywhere. Let's see. I believe it's in the bulletin. Yeah. Nope, that's another bulletin. Here it is. Did y'all see that saying I put in the bulletin, that last one? No one ever gets right with God when others are wrong. Man, that's good stuff right there. But it's when I come to the Lord and say, Lord, it's not them. It's not her, him, or those. It's me. If I'm defeated, it's my fault. Amen. If I'm blaming somebody else, I'm the one that's wrong. And believe me, I've been there. We've all been there. We've all been there. But I believe this. Listen, we're trying to just mind the Lord. We mentioned this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Somebody mentioned that the other night, and I commented on it. God's people need to be the ones stepping up. When a country is going down the tubes, God's people are the ones that God is looking to. God, you think God has got his eyes on the politicians as a turnaround and a fix? No. His eyes is on his people. Y'all do know that verse, don't you? Everybody ought to know that by memory. You ought to try to memorize that. Now I want to tell all of those of you that's been saved and you're young converts, you ought to make it your business. It won't be easy. Your flesh won't want to do it. You ought to make it your business. No less than one verse per week, commit to memory. And I know you'll start out with Luke, was it 11:35? Or John 11:35, Jesus wept. I got it, preach already, man, I got it. Woo! 51 more weeks to go. But you think about it, that'd be 52 verses that you didn't know. 52 verses that you would have hid in your heart. Amen. How'd I get on that? Oh, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, that's what God said. And it's talking about the nation was in a terrible shape. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And RBT ought to have this mindset, Brother Craig, this mentality. We don't know about what other churches are doing. We don't know where they're at spiritually. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're doing. And we ought to be concerned about that to the measure that we pray for sister churches. But we ought to look at it personally. We ought to look at it personally, that God is wanting RBT to step up and make a difference. Amen. If Esther and Mordecai, two people, can step up and confront the political mess of their day and Haman's wicked agenda of having all the Jews killed, listen, those two stepped up and put their lives on the line. And she even said, if I die, I die. And step up. Game playing's over. Playing church is over. Coasting is over. God said, I'm looking at my people. If I get my people, listen, God doesn't have a national problem. God's got a church problem. He said, if I can get my people right, then I can deal with their land. If I can deal with the church, and get my way in the church, then I can get my way in the land. Amen. I remember preaching that. I remember preaching that verse. I don't know, it's been a few years back. And God just gave it to me right in the middle of preaching. That the land being sick is not our fault. It's not our fault the land is sick. It's our fault the land is not healed. Because if God's people gets right, then he said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and heal their land. God says, if God's people gets right, I can heal the land. So if God's people don't get right, I can't heal the land. So it's our fault. May not be our fault of all the sickness and sin and wickedness that is so prevalent. And Lord only knows what the near future's holding. No telling. I mean, everything that God is against, it's being thrown wide open again. Even as Brother Henry mentioned, the furnishing our tax money to help cover abortions in other countries. Now, if that ain't stupid. I don't want to get on that. But I know this. I'm expecting a lot more out of RBT than I am any other church. And I think that I've been preaching in that direction. I think God has been giving us messages to challenge us to step up. Preacher, we're not big enough. How big you got to be? Show me the verse. I want to commit that verse to memory. Show it to me. How big you got to be? How many you got to run? You got to run 3, 4, 5, 600, 1,000? 2,000, 6,000. Do you understand that our world today is still feeling the effects of 12? Jesus called 12. Amen. And even one of them was a devil, but still yet, guess what? God, listen, God, look what he's done. You know how he did that? They were obedient. They were obedient. After Jesus departed back and the Holy Spirit took up residence in their heart, they started saying, yes, Lord. And they went where God said to go and did what God said to do. They didn't let persecution stop them. They didn't let political tyranny, governmental tyranny stop them. A lot of people got this submissive attitude. That's wrong. And they'll throw up Romans 13. Hey, don't you ever forget this, friend. Herod was a dictator. He was a tyrannical dictator. He had every intentions of giving mandates to have babies killed from 2 years old and under. And guess who it was that told the wise men to disobey what Herod said? What? God telling us to be disobedient to political mandates? Yes. There you are. Get you some of that. He told the wise men, go find out where Jesus is and bring me word again that I may come and worship him. And they was going to do that. They was trusting the government. Could you believe that? And they were wise men. And the angel stopped them and said, no, don't go this way. Go another way. Amen. There's a lot more in the Bible about that kind of thing. Mary and Joseph, amen. Herod, the same Herod, same mandate to kill Jesus was still on the, and everywhere Joseph and Mary would go, God had sent an angel and say, go here and go there and go here and go there. And then when Herod was dead, then the angel come and said to Joseph, go get your things, get the Mary and get the child, head on back. Herod's dead. Amen. God can orchestrate and God can direct you and guide you. If he's telling you don't go here, there's a reason for it. He's saying go here, there's a reason for it. The best thing, the best policy, and we all struggle with it totally, is obedience. Just be obedient. We don't have to have explanation. We don't have to understand what all the what fors and the whys and the and okay, Lord, you want me to do this or that. And Lord, give me about 14 pages of explanation of details as to why. No, God says, do it. Just do it. Well, if we could learn that, and they'll tell them what God would do this church. They'll tell them what God would do through this church. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, I'm going prepared to preach. I'm going prepared to preach. And I thought I was going to get to preach this morning. As far as on the end of the script. And boy, that went not south, that went north quick, didn't it? Glory. That's all right. That's all right. Is that all right with you? We're going to try to follow the Lord. If it's clear and it's evident, hey, we're going to try our best to follow Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll have just a moment of invitation. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you for already moving in the service. Lord, I want to thank you for answered prayer this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for conviction. But I also want to thank you, dear Lord, for the fact that people can come in here broken. People can come in here realizing I've messed up. I believed a lie. I was given false information or whatever. And they can come in here and hear songs about hope and truth. Lord, they can get the Word of God preached to them and allow the Spirit of God to woo them to an old-fashioned altar. And they can repent and get right with God and to be taken away. Lord, I ask you, Lord, there may be others in here like Miss Amber that they haven't been all that. They haven't been scoring a 10. And that baggage and that guilt is wearing them out. Lord, they too can find help this morning. They too can find relief. They too can find forgiveness of their sin. Lord, I believe that this service this morning can be a brand new start. It can be the first day of the rest of our life. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord. We need you this morning. I know there's young people, young kids in here lost. Lord, there's some young people in here struggling. Lord, I know that. I know that. Lord, I've been trying to talk to some of them. I've been trying to pray, dear God, that you would help them. They're struggling. They're struggling. They don't know hardly how to process all that's going on in our world. They don't see hardly how all this is fitting in and how it's all going to come arranged and all of that. Lord, I pray that somehow that they would just come to an old-fashioned altar empty-handed and say, Lord, here I am. I don't have to know the whys and the hows and the how longs and the who to's and what for's. And I don't have to know any of that. All I need to know is you've invited me to come to you. And I'm bringing all of my baggage. I'm bringing my mistakes. I'm bringing my wrong choices. I'm bringing my whole mess to you. And Lord, you said in your precious word that you'd be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray, Father, that this morning, there'd be a time, Lord, where every ill will and every speck of bitterness, Lord, every speck of pride, Lord, would be dealt with. And Lord, that this church could go forward. Lord, we've been on the brink of revival, breaking out, Lord, over the past few weeks. And Lord, we're appreciative of that. And Lord, as I was praying this morning, Lord, you're not moving because of us. Lord, you would never condition your moving based on how we are, because we're subject to change at any second. We're subject, dear Father, to step out of the will of God and be disobedient and grieve the Holy Ghost at any time. We're such frail, fickle, flimsy people. And you knew what you was getting when you got us.
And Lord, you knew it's going to be a work in progress. And you committed to that. And Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name. I don't know who's listening, watching. I don't know in the service this morning, visitors, who. I don't know what's needed. But I do know this. You're the one that can meet their need. You are the one and only one that can meet our need.